Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Max's grand champion, Sel Lawrence. Sel, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hey Steve.
Mate, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm actually at the South Coast, my mum and dad's place. So it's a little bit cooler here than it is in Brisbane, but it's good. Good to be here.
Wait, hold on. But how chilly is Chile in the South Coast?
Oh, well, what is that? Maybe 8 or 10 degrees.
Okay, so it's a little bit cold. Yeah. I was going to say, because I'm in Melbourne, right? And Melbourne, we get a little bit chilly. And I thought, you Queenslanders, if it's like 18 degrees and it's cold for you, like you come down to Melbourne, but okay, that's a little bit chilly. All right, I'll take that back. Look, Sel, you know, at the time of recording this, just a few days ago, you found out that not only did you make the top 10 in the Max's January Challenge, you took out the January Challenge and took out first place in this amazing result that you achieved. How has the past couple of days been like for you?
It's been very... you know, like the old cliche saying goes, you're on cloud 9. I think I've been on cloud 15. So just really happy with the result. And still sort of sinking in a little bit, actually, to be honest with you. But yeah, really, really happy with the result, man. Yeah.
Well, mate, you should be so proud of what you've been able to achieve. You know, I'm sure you've inspired so many people, you know, within your communities, within our online communities to live a better life, right? To prioritize themselves, prioritize fitness and health. And, you know, you look absolutely amazing for someone who's, you know, I think in your 50s, but you might as well be in your 20s with me. So congratulations.
Yeah. Awesome. Sounds good.
But Sel, look, let's start off, mate, by telling us a little bit about yourself. So, you know, I know a little bit about you, but I'm sure there's some people who don't know who you are. So would you like to tell us maybe where you're from and what you do for work and who is Sel?
Yeah, sure. So I live in Brisbane, originally from Cape Town, South Africa. So I came over to Australia when I was, you know, a little guy, about 7 years old. Never been back there. So I'm an Aussie. I love Australia. I'm a flooring specialist, so a tradie, and so there's heaps of steps and things happening in that job for sure. And on the side, a little side hustle, I do a bit of PT, friends and family, but that's kind of grown quite significantly, and I'm sure you know, being the grand champion, it'll might grow a little bit more. But yeah, that's pretty much me. I have three beautiful daughters, and I have three grandchildren, and another one on the way. I love the grandkids, man. They're just little blessings.
Little blessings. Yeah. Beautiful. So it sounds like you're a busy man. You got lots going on, working hard, and a family man. Lots of young ones to look after. Well, look, Sel, let's start by talking a little bit about why. So would you like to tell us, well, firstly, rewind, this is your second challenge that you've done with us. Is that right?
I think it's officially the second challenge, yeah. So I did do one in last year, 2020, September, but I, on doctor's advice, due to some complications, he suggested that I don't do it. But being me, I kind of I did it from the sidelines and hooked into the Facebook group, and you know, I just got so encouraged and inspired by all the guys and ladies on there. Met some really cool friends and so on. So I was kind of doing it by myself anyway, and so that was unofficially. But in 2019, I broke my talus bone. Now you would know all about that. A talus bone is a bone you don't want to break. So that was in my left foot. And so I did the 2019, signed up for the 2019 to basically rehab my whole body. So I had to sit down in a chair for about 6 weeks doing nothing. And that led to eating, you know, burgers and things more than usual. So, you know, I think I put on about 10 or 12 kilos. So the 2019 was a rehab. I think I finished it, but you know, I couldn't do any cardio and all that. So it was an expected result for me. Disappointing, but expected. So I really wanted to hit up the 2020. There's a few health issues. So I actually got diagnosed with brain tumor in 2020, and which was quite a hit for myself and my family. And once I sort of came out of the haze and lots of doctor's appointments and lots of medication treatments and so forth, I just said, I won't say the word on the podcast, but I said that word and I thought, no way, I'm just going to go for this. I'm just going to put my best foot forward and live my best life to the best I possibly can, and start eating really good. So I looked up all the things that you shouldn't eat, having a tumor, you know, cutting back on your sugars, increasing your protein, and so on. So that led to some really good health. And by the end of that challenge in September 2020, the doc said, "Man, I don't know what you've done, but you're cool. You're good to go." So thank goodness that the tumor was not a cancerous tumor. But of course, the initial stages, we didn't actually know that. And it was only after we went through some treatments and so on. And of course, at that time, good old COVID hit as well. So that put everything medically, put everything on a bit of a back foot as well. So there were a few challenges there.
Yeah, wow. Wow. So prior to breaking your talus, because that's a pretty difficult bone to break, is there a cool story to how you broke it, or was it just a?
Okay, yeah, it is a cool story. Being in the flooring industry, I actually wasn't working at the time, so I was just helping a mate. We were getting this carpet ready. It was a massive roll, like it was, I'd say 300K, possibly 300K, or even more actually. And for some reason, the carpet forklifts are like little spears, and they go in the carpet roll, and you take it off the shelf. Right at the end of the job, just about finished, and this thing falls on my shoulder. And I actually didn't realize that it was on my shoulder. I guess that's shock or something. And then all of a sudden I heard this crack, and turned around, said to a couple of my mates there, "I think I've broken my ankle." Anyway, they got the carpet roll off. All was well on that end. And I started walking. They said about 10 steps, and just collapsed. And that was the end of that. So there was... extremely painful later on. There is a little extended part of that story is that after sitting in the chair and you know, getting everything sorted out and you know, wearing a moon boot for about 3 months, went back to work in the moon boot, and everything felt great. At the end of the day, I thought there was a little bit of pain there, which there was. Anyway, I went to rehab. I'll give him a mention, Jeff Clark in Brizzy. A really good physio, and he said to me, "You know, you should be walking normally by now." And I said, "Yeah, I thought so, but you know, just keep on going." And anyway, as it turned out, he said, "Look, go for an MRI." I went for the MRI, and it was a clean break. So I'd be hopping around on this clean broken tailbone ankle for about 3 months. And anyway, he hooked me up with some surgery, so I had to go through the whole process again. Sitting in the chair and not doing anything, which is pretty hard for me to do.
So prior to this injury, were you an active person? Like, were you training and doing all the things?
Yes, I was. You know, as we all do, we get those times where we really hit it hard, and then you know, the nutrition fails. We fail the nutrition. More to speak, we fail in nutrition, and so we get ourselves into that place of, "Oh, I need to fix things up, you know, I need to fix things up," and that cycle went on. I actually call it the BS cycle. So that cycle went on for a good few years in my life, because when I was 17, 18, 19, I actually was competing in bodybuilding comps and so on, and you know, as the story goes, you get married. you get divorced, you get married, you etc. Different story, but stuff happens in life, you know, and you go through these cycles. And I guess my wake up call, Steve, was the fact that I could have died with the tumor very easily. Just that thought alone was, you know, I haven't finished. There's a lot of things I want to do or I haven't finished and so on. And that's why in 2020, that was it. I said, no way. No more BS. Get into it. Just listen. See if you can, you know, first of all, get healthy and then start building again and compete again, you know. So that is one of my goals, to get up there on stage again and also to help people who are going through a similar journey, you know, of my age, you know, thinking that they can't do it because they're maybe 50 or 40 or 45, and they definitely can, male or female. Yeah,
I love that. And you know, I've heard that story so many times, you know, both within the challenge, within my fitness career, and then within my healthcare professional career, where people just like yourself, they've been fit and active for a really long time. And then an accident would happen out of nowhere. And often it's one of those accidents that didn't really have any buildup, such as, I was unloading a truck and I broke my ankle, right? And that moment instantly, you know, we change our entire being because of that instant, right? And I can relate to that on a very small scale, where I was quite fit and active and then I ruptured my ACL. And I went from this fit and active person to being basically disabled, where I couldn't walk. I was hobbling around. I had crutches and everything, and everything just fell apart. And everything from my food, I didn't care about what I ate. I didn't care about what physical activity I did. Everything was horrible. And then I had that wake up call where I was like, oh, okay, I've got to get back into it if I'm going to do something. And it's a common thing that people go through, and it's okay that happens. Like, you're not a bad person because everything's fallen apart. It's about what you do afterwards. And it sounds like exactly what you did, where you go, okay, I went through my BS cycle. I've been through enough BS cycles. Now I've got to take control of this cycle and do something about it. And you went through a really shitty time where you were in a moon boot. You're basically in a chair. You're basically disabled. You probably didn't care about what you ate. You didn't care about what you looked. And you're like, screw this, you know, what's the point? But then you had that wake up call when that tumor kind of gave you a little bit of a scare. And then here we are, inspiring other people to give a shit again, right? So that's it. No. Okay, look, you've spoken about this a little bit already. I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you might have faced. And let's talk about maybe this January challenge. You've achieved this amazing result, and I'm sure it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows as the pictures play out to be. Can you speak to us about some of the challenges that you might have faced over this January period?
Yeah. Okay. So I think the biggest challenge for me was, I guess, keeping in mind that I couldn't push myself as much as I wanted to. That was a hard thing because that's a natural thing that comes to me, is just go as hard as you possibly can. But I had to rest probably, well, I can't really say more than anyone else because I don't know, but more than what I used to, in between, you know, 2 days off, 3 days on, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes I would do 2 days of training and I just wouldn't feel very good. So I would have 2 days off. I would have 2 days off rather than the 1 day off. And that was very hard for me because going to the gym is like a meditative experience for me. It is a healing experience. And for some people it might be, you know, I'm there pushing out these heavy weights and so forth, you know, but it is a meditative experience, you know, because you get in that zone and it's just beautiful. So having to rest was quite a hard thing for me, quite a hard thing for me to do. Another hard thing was I actually lost my auntie in a terrible accident. So she passed away due to a car accident. Now my auntie to me was like my second mum. And that was very hard. I actually had to think about whether I should pull out of the challenge and maybe just leave it for another time. But thanks to some really good buddies, they just said, no, well, you got to do this for her. You know, you just got to keep going, do it for her. So that was probably the hardest thing, Steve, to do that. And then, of course, going to the funeral. Now, Just to add to that, the reason why I'm here at the South Coast is because my uncle, who was my auntie's husband, he passed away a couple of weeks ago, and he basically just couldn't live without her. So that's why we're up here for his funeral. But that was the hardest thing, Steve, is having my auntie pass away. You know, it's if anyone's lost a mum or a loved one that's very close, it kind of, it puts you in a place that maybe you don't want to be. So I actually, I grieved a little bit and I did put it aside and, along the process of the challenge, I did some grieving as well. But that was a tough one. I have to be honest with you and say that the training itself wasn't hard because I just absolutely loved it. So I know that's not for everybody, but for me it was. I just loved it. You know, I guess having to be diagnosed with a tumor, having that the talus bone breaking, I was so grateful that I could do what I was doing in the gym and some of the exercises I couldn't do. Bulgarian squats, I can't do those anymore. Even squatting normally, I can't. So I need to do narrow stance squats, and I just adapted it to what my body could do.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about your auntie. I couldn't imagine. I personally haven't lost anyone. I know I will, because you know that's the only thing that we know to be true is death is going to happen one day. But I'm sorry to hear about your auntie and now your uncle. Must have been a very tough experience to go through. Look, talking about training, you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, let's say your ankle injury, and maybe now you need to continue to modify some activities such as, you know, Bulgarian split squats or some squatting patterns, you know, because we know how much the ankle is involved in those movements. How did you go by making those changes? Did you like feel comfortable doing them yourselves, or did you reach out for help from like a physio, maybe the physio that rehabbed your ankle, or like what did you do to kind of play around with the exercises to make them work for you? Like, what steps did you take?
Okay, so I did reach out to the to my physio, and he said, like, narrow stance squats with a Smith machine. So you've got more support than you would with your free weights. So I gave those a trial, and it was trial and error. So there was a lot of experimenting, you know. I watched a couple of your movements on Instagram or YouTube of how you did those Bulgarian squats on the bench, single leg, those guys there. And I gave that a try, but it just didn't work. So I started doing, in the Smith machine again. So everything was related to the Smithy because it was less pressure on ankles and less movement, maybe not pressure, but less movement on the ankles. So it was all really experimenting and seeing what would work. The goblet squats were fantastic. So I'd never really done those before, but those guys are excellent because it's more of a it's a different movement, you know. So the ankle's not sort of jiggling around all over the place. It's quite good. I'm trying to think of the name of, oh my goodness, I can't think of it, of the Smith machine, another movement I did in there.
I think when, you know, when we age through life, there's certain things that happen to us. You know, we experience injuries, aches and pains. We might not be as mobile as we were when we were younger. And there's some exercises that we just simply can't do yet. And I think there's many people that would look at an exercise, let's say like a squat, for example, and they go, oh, I can't squat. They throw their hands up in the air and they go, well, I guess this training program isn't for me. And then they give up. Right. And I don't think that that's the right way to think about it. And I do think that it there's no clear answer on what you should do. It really is an experimental process, same as what you went through, where maybe you are watching some videos on Instagram or maybe YouTube or maybe on Facebook, or maybe you're sitting in the gym kind of like watching what other people are doing and going, oh, I've never seen someone do it that way. That's actually not a bad way to do it. And you give it a try. And, you know, people ask me all the time, what's the best technique for a squat? What's the best way to do this or that way? And at the end of the day, there's so many differences to everybody's body, right? You know, even down to everyone's height, their femur length, their ratios, their distribution of mass is different, right? So every person's technique is going to be very unique to them. And it is a case of experimenting, being like, okay, what happens if you turn your toes out? What happens if you turn in? What happens if you go a narrow stance? What happens if you go wide? What happens if we put you in a Smith machine where it's a lot more stable? Are you able to brace better and feel your quads, you know, light up? All right, well, that's the exercise for you. So I think we all, as in everybody in fitness, need to do a better job without critiquing everyone really aggressively, being like, ah, they're using the BOSU ball. Ha, what silly people. It's like, well, no, that's got a place. It's got a place for everybody, right? And look, I'll put my hand up and say, once upon a time when I was much younger, I used to look at the Smith machine and scoff and be like, the Smith machine, go use a barbell, right? I used to be that person. And
me too.
I've grown. Yeah, right. My buddy and I used to make fun of it, being like, oh, it's the tainted machine. Don't go near that, right? And that was a very narrow-minded way of thinking about it. And now when I use a Smith machine, I'm like, oh, like I feel my pecs on a bench press and the Smith machine. I don't feel it like this on a barbell. Or like, you know, maybe if you've been doing other movements like a stiff-legged deadlift or even a simple calf raise, I'm like, oh, this is just beautiful. I'm like, why was I like this 10 years ago when I was a kid? And then what, you know, so it's a learning experience, and we do need to experiment more with exercise because we only learn. That's all. That we feel things differently and we have a great result from that. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, look, I've kind of touched on some things that I might have learned. Look, Sel, now it's your turn. Over your challenge kind of experience over these past two challenges and maybe even like sitting on the sidelines and watching, can you talk to us a little bit about some things that you might have learned along the way? And that could be something really formal, like, oh, I learned what a protein powder was, or it could be something informal, like, oh, I could do it if I put my mind to it. So can you speak a little bit about some things you might have learned?
Absolutely. All right. So nutrition is, I think was the, for me, it was like the, I hate saying the biggest, but let's say one of the biggest contributors to this challenge for me, because I learned to understand what asparagus does to your body, what broccoli does to your body, what chicken thighs will do instead of a chicken breast, what different cuts of meat, their fat percentage and so forth, what they will do, and how having 50 grams of white potato versus sweet potato versus 70 grams, the difference that'll make to how you look and your energy and so on. So that was one thing I learned, and I'm still learning, and I don't think that'll ever stop because there's so much to actually learn there. But another big thing was mindset. And you know that feeling when your mind is saying to you, you can't do that, you know, or that's too hard, you know, that doing that is too hard, and you do it anyway. But you kind of sheepishly get into your car, you sheepishly get out of your car, and you're in the gym, and you just like, it's like you're almost that voice is saying that you can't do it, and you're just kind of, you know, looking through the side of your peripheral vision. But you do it anyway. And when you get into that place of realizing, shit, I'm actually doing this stuff that my mind has told me that I couldn't do. And you're right in the middle of that motion, and you realize I'm doing it. You know, I'm actually doing it, you know. So there were a couple of days there where and particularly after Marnie died, where you just didn't really want to. You sort of did and you didn't, but just going to that place of that hard place of, and you just do it. You just actually in that motion of doing it. You know, that was just fantastic. And like I said before, like the gym to me, and is a real meditative experience. You know, where the rest of the world's out there, and this is the place where stuff happens to me, in my body and my mind, so that when I leave these doors, I can be a better person to somebody else, and I can help them to get to this place or experience this experience. And it's almost like the hardness of the exercise or the weights is a secondary thing. to that feeling, you know. Yeah, that was another big thing for me. But the nutrition and the mindset was massive. And I also just got to say this too is at the beginning of this challenge, like, oops, have I still got you? Yes, sorry. At the beginning of this challenge, I actually said to a couple of my friends, and I did this on purpose, is I said, I'm actually going to win this. I'm actually going in to win this challenge and whatever it takes. And the result was there, you know. I didn't say that arrogantly. I kind of said it quite scaredly, but I wanted to say it. I wanted to say it out of my mouth, and I just kept believing that.
I guess understand that when you kind of like tell yourself you're going to do something and you're scared that you will do it, right? Where, you know, you've kind of like had that idea in your head, like, I'm going to win this thing. And then you utter the words, like, I'm going to win the Max's Challenge. And it's like, ah, oh, fuck. And then you realize, like, this is the work I'm going to have to put in. And that's like a scary thing to be like, I need to train hard. I need to eat well. This is all the time, right? Every time I go to train, I've got to push myself. I can't half-ass this. And it can be a daunting experience, right? When you commit to something like that, like I'm actually going to do this. All right, here we go. And man, like the amount of times I've gone to the gym and that little voice in your head creeps in, be like, oh, not today. Go home. You're done. Like, you know, you can't lift that, right? Or sometimes I would prescribe myself weight because I'm trying to like, you know, increase my squat or something. I'm like, all right, so this week we're doing, you know, 150, next week's 160. And then in 4 weeks time, you better get ready for that big 200. It's coming for you. And it's just like, you know, that it's at the end of the line. Be like, all right, I've got to build myself up to that. And every time you get closer to it, it's almost like, well, you know that picture book, right? Where it's like the big scary monster at the end of this book. And it's like the whole hype of this, like, you know, kid's picture book, and you're like, well, where's the big scary monster? Then you, at the end, you find out it's you. It's like, oh, I was the big scary monster. Like, it was just me hyping myself up. And I think sometimes we get caught in those traps, you know, where we're like, oh, like I'm hyping up something so much, and you get scared, you get worried, and you're like, oh, that bench press is really heavy, I'm going to crush myself, or oh, I'm going to be starving after this meal. How could I ever do it? And then at the end, you find out that, you know, you were your own like voice in your head beating yourself up, right?
I listened to the U Project. So while I'm working, you know, machinery and all that sort of stuff, we've got earplugs in. So I get to listen to that pretty much every day, you know. And I'm so glad that good old Craig Huffs has an episode every day now. What he speaks about and the people that he's interviewed and so on, it really helped along the way. Even when I was in the gym, I was listening to one and he was talking about a gym stuff, you know, and it was just... Every single episode was just so relevant. Yeah. And I also got to say, like your programs too, which is totally different to what I've ever done. So I was really happy to start at a beginner mindset, almost like a kid going to a shop for the first time. Oh, beauty! I'll try this. I'll try that. And it was so good, man. So thank you for that, Steve.
No, you're welcome. Well, look, good old Craig Harper. I could only dream that I could one day be like him in the future. Maybe I'll have a podcast every day or have arms like Craig Harper one day. look, I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about change, right? And could you tell us a little bit of a summary about how your life has changed over your time since maybe doing the challenge in September 2019 to now? Like, how has your day-to-day life changed for yourself?
Okay, so as I touched on before, it's the nutrition has become so real to me. So the BS stuff is gone and I'm happily to following a really good nutrition plan, like even now after the challenge. Yep, I've had some, you know, some burgers and what have you. But it's still, I'm still on a pretty strict, you know, good proteins, good fats, good carbs, and so on. And that's a choice. And that is what has developed from 2019 to now. That's one of the things. The other thing is my training, my strength has increased. And I think that's due to actually just changing what I was doing from, a set, you know, split routine to an all body routine, incorporating legs and so forth. And my general outlook, 100% my general outlook from 2019 to today is very different. I think, you know, my friends and my daughters always say to me, you know, you're always there for us. You're always a giving sort of a person, but I have increased that to a point where, it's become a love, where I'm really loving. It fills my heart a lot to be giving out to people. And from 2019 till today, I'm actually doing a Cert 4 PT. So I used to be back, you know, 30 years ago, but that doesn't mean anything these days. So I should be qualified in November. And in November. So that's all part of this journey. My health as well. So I'm still doing regular checkups with the neurosurgeons and doctors and so forth. And pretty much since November, everything's going really good. And there's no reason why I need to have surgery. There's no reason why I need to have anything, because it's all, everything, you know, tumor shrinking and so on. So that's a massive plus. So overall health is just blowing me away. And how I feel, so my eldest daughter is 34 this year, and how I feel is maybe 30. So yeah, and then they keep me in check. Yeah, you're not 30, Dad.
Mate, you'll be chasing after the grandkids, and
yeah,
you'll be acting like you're 30. No, stay young, right?
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So look, let's finish on some advice. So I'm sure many people have come to you already, wanting to improve their fitness, their health, lose some weight, build some muscle. What advice would you give to someone who was about to start their fitness journey or about to start the Maxis Challenge? What would you tell that person?
Yeah. Okay. Firstly, if you have been going to the gym for years and you feel as though you just need something, or you feel as though you're in a bit of rut, we all get in that place where we're stuck, you know, we feel stuck. That's one reason that I would sign up to the Maxis Challenge, to get out of that place and just come in as a beginner. Like, it doesn't matter what we know, it's what we can know, you know. And if we stay in that place of what we know and that's enough, well, we're always going to be stuck. So that's one reason. Another reason is if you're struggling with your health, if you're over 50 or over 50 and you're struggling with your health and you need something to get you out of bad nutrition, bad eating habits, and as well as training, but bad eating habits particularly, then this is the challenge for you. And I would say to you, make the choice and then back yourself. Try not to be, I know it's a challenge and a competition, if you will, but just back yourself most of all. Like, you don't want to be competing with anyone else besides yourself and what you can achieve and where you can go.
I love that. I love that last bit. That's quality advice, where, you know, you really should only be comparing yourself to yourself, right? And I see it in weeks one, weeks two, where people get disheartened because they see other people, they've lost, you know, 5 kilos in a week and that person hasn't lost anything, and they're like, oh well, I'm not doing it right, you know, this isn't for me, and they give up. And it's like, well, hold on, like, you've lost a kilo, think about how awesome that is. Like, be careful that you're not just comparing yourself to other people online. You don't know anybody else's story other than yourself, right? And you know, you're right, you got to back yourself, you know.
That's it. Can I say one other thing, Steve? If you need assistance and need help in through the journey, then you know, grab yourself a coach. Like, Maxis has some pretty cool coaches there, PTs, etc. I actually got in touch with a guy I met in 2019, a past challenger, Ben Fitzy, and he helped on the way as far as nutrition went, and he was great. He was just a giving dude, and helped me out a lot. But if you need help along the way, like the Max's guys have got all that sorted. And the Max's thing is the Max's routine the program, it's all sorted for you. Like it's all the nutrition, the training, it's all sorted. All you got to do is follow it.
Look, Sal, I'd like to take a moment to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And, you know, thank you for inspiring so many people to live a healthier life. I'm sure that you've inspired so many people within your circles and also within our online communities. So, mate, thank you. And mate, a huge, huge congratulations for taking out the January Max's Challenge. You should be so proud of your result.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you, Max's.